The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Is the 21st of May 2017. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and look at the winner's circle. There's 12 modules there with everything from my very beginnings, from my feeling on training, right through to high shrug, sandbag work, stone work, power rack work, pullovers, thick bar work, dips, dead stop squats, among many. And it's all in, well, you know, the people don't want me to use the word audio, but I am speaking all the way through it. And each module is a minimum of 30 minutes long. And we got a 13th one if you buy the product now called the Stewards of Strength. And this is a product, you know, we talk about that at the end of the show. Stewards of Strength / Gatekeeper is what I call physical culture. And I give you 20 minutes of my feelings on physical culture, and that's the way that is. So go out and check that out. Now, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. As I announced yesterday on Facebook, we got a doubleheader today. We got two of the greatest people I've ever had on the show. We've got, I love it, we got Douglas Graham here, and we got Martin Janzik's on here. And anybody that's ever heard our shows knows this is some serious stuff. And go out and just look at all the shows I've done with both of these gentlemen over the last year. This is the real deal when you bring men like this in. And we're going to get into their topic very shortly. But then the next thing we want to talk about is, obviously, I'm looking for donations. Now, we've been announcing that. Dr. Jeffrey Smith gave us a very nice donation of $140 the other day, and I greatly appreciate that, Jeffrey. But we're trying to raise $1,000 a month right now because the show right now is very expensive to produce. We've got a brand new product. Essentially, we've got two of them out, but we've taken etched in stone off until we can get very solvent with everything. So that, you know, that's what we're doing right now. If you go out to my PayPal account at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com, anything would be appreciated because I feel we have done an awful lot of service for people, and right now we are having massive growing pains, and we are really hanging by the skin of our teeth. And, you know, it's going to come down to having to get a job because, I mean, I don't like getting into a lot of personal things. But I've gone through almost my life savings of $80,000 in 3.5 years. The show will go on no matter what because I love this stuff, and we will still be the biggest and the best out there. We will be a national radio show, and we will have a live call-in show, and you can bet your last dollar on that. Plus, our products, I've got about 5 products on the shelf right now, whether I've worked with people like Eric Gutman. I'm telling you right now, we've got some massive stuff sitting there, and it needs to get out to the public, and we will get it out to the public. But before I bring these two gentlemen in, I want to give you a little bit of information on them. Let me get in here. We're going to go with Douglas first. Number one, he's an expert in martial arts, kettlebells, maces, clubs, and powerlifting. And now we're going to get into Martin. And if you don't know Martin either by now, you should. You should friend both of these gentlemen. Number one, stone lifter. And In my opinion, I think he's one of the, if he's not number one, he's in the top two. I've seen some good stone lifters, and I've been around him in Iceland. I watch this guy, man. I mean, this guy is like pedal to the metal all the time. And the thing I admire about Martin especially is he's a guy that you can tell without even knowing him. I mean, you hear him, he'd help anybody. And that's what it's all about. And it's not being so self-absorbed that you can't even see the forest through the trees, okay? That's what it's about. Now, also, too, he's a strongman, power lifter. He's a Scottish Championships competitor. And he's the muscle behind the Facebook page, Historic Stone Lifting. And I was out there a little while before we started the show. It's just incredible stuff, the stones. It's just unbelievable. So, with no further ado, welcome Martin and welcome Douglas to Motivation and Muscle, my friends.
Hi, Eric.
Hello, Douglas. Martin.
Great to be here, buddy.
You got it. It's great to have you both here. And we're going to get into, they're going to be doing a seminar together in June. And they're going to go over a lot of training, and it's going to be with natural stones, the exercises that work off both of one another. And if we were recording what we had before we came on, we were talking about some pretty interesting things, and I love it. And I want to tell everybody, Douglas and Martin are going to talk about a few things with fundraising here before we come on. So either one of you gents, take it away, and then whoever goes first, please follow.
After you, Martin.
Okay, thank you. Well, what I was thinking of is if it would help in any kind of way to help raise money for the show, because it's a kind of, this is a show it needs to be out there. It gives people a vast amount of information through different disciplines, from kettlebells to marsh training to stones to anything you want you can get on here. There's the healthcare and everything. So this kind of show needs to keep going. But if it helps anyway, what I propose is if MD listens to the show would be interested, they could give a donation to yourself, Eric, for the show.
Yep.
And I would do a one-to-one training session with them through a live Skype recording. And I could just set up my laptop in the garden or at a gym, depending on what it is they want to do with the stones or in the field, even with the tire.
Yep.
We could talk about stand dog training. We could train together. They can train, I can train with them at the same time, and I could give them. I could watch what they do, and I could give them information right then and then. It could help them in their discipline for what they do. I could help them with technique and anything they would like, from training to dieting, even.
Yeah.
But yeah, anybody that's out there is interested in doing a one-to-one session, training session, just speak to you about donation, and we can take it from there. And I'm happy to just give someone or a few people, if they want, at different times or together,
yep,
just one-on-one time through Skype.
Now, Martin, would they be able to get a hold of you mainly through Facebook? Is that how you'd want to do it?
Yeah, well, we could either get in touch with you, and then you could do it.
Okay, all
you
right.
Can get in touch with me,
okay.
Or they could get in touch with me themselves.
Okay.
But as long as it kind of goes through you as well, because it's all for helping the show.
Okay. So, if you want to get a hold of me, the best way would be to go through Facebook, Eric Fiorello, because I've got I have multiple email addresses, but it'd be much cleaner just to go through that. Then I can get it right to Martin one way or another, and that would be easiest for me, and it'd be easy for me to get in touch with him. So I thank you for that, Martin. Douglas, what do you want to do, my friend?
I'm just a second what Martin says. He put it very, very well. So I'm quite happy to do anything, but obviously I offer a slightly different service than Martin. I'm not a professional stoner. I could do anything from martial arts to technique to tools, you know, Macy's, stuff like that. But the place I do, for anyone listening, the place I do some of my best work is actually in rehab and prehab for injuries.
Okay.
Past or present, niggling injuries and things like that. Backs, lower backs, especially, I get a lot of, and can usually make a difference in 40 minutes with people. I've had folk walk in covered in pain in their back and then walk out absolutely fine standing up straight. So that's where I tend to specialise in where it would probably be most useful to your listeners, you know, than a personal trainer, one-to-one kind of thing, or whatever they think it is. So to specify, like Martin is with the stones and whatnot, yeah, that would be that's a really good place that I can specify with people and help them out. So
great. Now
I'm happy to offer that. And let's say, like Martin says, so if you arrange something where people do it through your whatever it is they need to do to get donations for your show.
Okay. Well, we can do, like I said, if you would like to work with Douglas, you know, you can get a hold of me through Facebook, and I will send the information to him. Or I'll have you code of Douglas, and you can work it out, and we'll get a donation from that. So I thank both of you gentlemen for that. Believe me.
Can I just add one thing to that, please?
Yeah, whatever you want, boss.
To AMD, anyone that's listening and might be interested in doing the live training session with myself or Douglas, you've got to know that for Douglas... He's going to teach you pretty really well on health prevention and injury prevention, which is a number one key issue that you really need to learn.
Yep.
And for myself, for the stone lifted in tires and sandbags, I believe that, as I've said before, that for any MD that's physically active or there's any physically demanding sport, whether it be anything from football, soccer, boxing, anything, even tennis. I believe that a well-developed stone lifting or sandbag or tire routine can go towards giving you big beneficial help and making you like a stronger and better all-round formed athlete for your own discipline. So please get in touch with either of us through Eric, and we'll help you in any way we can.
And I thank you guys. Believe me, that means an awful lot to me. And I'll tell you guys something else. Martin and Douglas, I mean, obviously, Douglas, is. We've seen him. He's been starting to pop stones, too, and everything. So, I mean, this is not something that's new to a lot of us. But I'll tell you right now, this is just my feeling. And then we're going to start right up about what you two are getting involved in here in June. But I both want to comment out of you because I think that you guys are right on the same page with me here. I feel, especially in the United States, all right, because I've been abroad. I know what the mentality is in Iceland. I met it with so many people that don't even lift stones, but when they say to you, why are you in Iceland? And I'm saying, I'm going to go lift the Húsafell stone and we're going to go play with, you know, a bunch. You know, the last time we went, it was just mainly for the Húsasteel or Húsafell. And obviously, then we went on the Icelandic trip with Bill Crawford and everybody in 2008. And the thing that I think, this is just my opinion. Now, you guys, it's very prevalent over where you folks are. But it's not like that here, all right? But I'm going to tell you this. I think the biggest thing that is coming out of Motivation Muscle more than anything, and the biggest thing that I want to fire on all the time is, I believe, and Martin just said it, about what a sandbag and a stone can do in relationship to any sport out there. You know what it is, gentlemen, and I'm going to go right, I'll go to Martin first. It just hasn't been pushed out there. And people got the wrong idea and the wrong attitude about that stuff, too. It's always the counter. It's always, you know, not productive. I can get hurt. You know, where am I going to find the stuff? And yet, sand costs nothing. Bags to put them in basically cost nothing, unless you're going to go out and get a Cerebus or one from Iron Mind. But they still don't cost a lot. And what does a stone cost when you go find it on the side of the road, other than don't be like me and not know that the land is posted and you could get shot for going on the land, okay? So that's all. That's the thing you got to think. But Martin, tell me, what do you think, man, about that statement?
Yeah, well, I think it's the same sort of thing for me when you said that somebody says, like, why are you here in Iceland? Well, I'm going to live the Húsafell stone.
Yeah.
I get the same kind of questions as well when I'm going around the stones and traveling for hours just to go and lift a stone. I maybe travel for like 3 or 4 hours going after stone for half an hour, and then I'll come back home again. And people think you're crazy for doing that. You know, well, you're doing all that, and then, of course, they say, well, the stones are getting heavier and heavier, because you know yourself, if you lift something, what a weight or a big stone, you want to go and lift the next stone up, you know, a heavier and heavier one.
Yep.
And people keep saying to me, well, you can get hurt doing that and blah, blah, blah. But the same thing, and you can get hurt doing anything. You know, you can fall off. Well, look at Christopher Reeves, who was Superman, fell off his horse, and that was him paralyzed, which is it's a great loss to everyone. And then, of course, I mean, there's countless people have been killed in racing cars, and saying you can get killed in a car overtaking somebody, or some idiot overtaking you in a car in the street, you know?
Yep.
So you can't say that, you can never really say that, oh, you can get injured doing this or injured doing that, can lift this weight or that stone, or you can get injured or hurt doing anything. You can get hurt just walking down the street, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you could fall off your ankle, that be you, or you could, if you don't lift something right, even a small weight, even you're shopping out your car, you could hurt yourself if you're not done right. But if you know the basics and you can do everything properly, you won't get injured, or it minimizes the injury can a lot greater. I mean, anything you do, you can get injured in. Anything, even sitting in the office at work.
Yeah.
But if you learn the basics of things, learn the, like, put down a strong foundation.
Yep.
That is what's going to help you. It's going to minimize any sort of injury, and you build your body up. And of course, lifting, flipping tires and lifting sandbags, especially. As well as the stones, sandbags are a really, really great tool.
Yep.
Like you say, you can get it for free. Sometimes you can even just go to the, you know, I went to my local builder merchant, bought four bags, £2.50 each, or £3, which is maybe about $5 in America.
Yeah.
Maybe I bought four of them. I got a bag for, it was £40 over here. Then I got some liners, put the liners in.
Yep.
Filled the bag with the sand. And there you go. There's my a training tool for like £30 or whatever it was, £40.
Yeah.
And I've had it. I've been training with it for years now, for the last few years. And I've had all the different weights in it. I've had up to 140 kilos.
Yep.
And right now it's at 110 kilos, so I can do rep after rep after rep really quick.
Yeah.
And build my body up, okay, to get to like stronger numbers again. And I think sandbags, everyone should have one. Like, it's a great tool, and makes a great little thing at the front door as well.
And I love that when you walk into your house and you see that. But you know something, and Douglas, I'll be right with you. You know what I think more than anything? I would love, I've said this to my brother-in-law before. And I know they won't do it, and I got it. But, and I think a lot of it is just they've done it, but not to the extent I'd like to do it. I said, why don't you take a third of your team and run them with the tires? They have multiple tires. Run them with multiple tires and multiple size sandbags, and let the other guys, the other three quarters of the team, do the conventional squat, all that stuff, all right? And all the other drills.
The thing is, well, you don't have to lift. I mean, me, I'm training just now with a stone. I've put some weights on my stone in the back garden. It's now sitting at 153 kilos.
Yep.
So I'm training with that just now. I mean, you don't have to go anywhere near that. You get a stone that's 40, 50 kilos.
Yeah.
If that's a heavy stone for you, then that is the lift. You don't. You know, a lot of people get put off by seeing big guys doing really big numbers or lifting big stones or flipping a big tire or lifting a lot of weight in the sandbag. But it's for each individual person. So that's one thing I think puts people off.
Yep.
They've got to, I mean, as long as that 40 or 50 kilo is a heavy weight for them, and it's not just something they can pick up like a shopping bag. It has to still be a substantial weight for it to help you and give you any sort of beneficial development, if you mean. But as long as it's a heavy weight for you, then that is the correct weight for you. And don't ever be put off with somebody like lifting 100 kilos more than you are, because it doesn't matter.
It just goes
what you can do. As long as it is a heavy weight for you, then that is right for you. As long as you're not fooling yourself, or if you want to get development, lift a weight that is going to give you a good workout, no matter what it is.
Douglas, what do you think? I mean, sandbags, obviously. We've seen you a lot more now out on Facebook, and you've been on Etched with it. And you're coming from a powerlifting background, obviously, and obviously you know how to put people back together again. But just give us a quick synopsis, what you think about that, and then let's get right into this seminar the two of you gentlemen are doing in June, if you would, please.
Absolutely, Eric. Yeah, well, especially the stone lifting, it's for me, it's my go-to strength and conditioning work just now. It's really the thing where I really get the most out of it, because it's so much more than just strength and conditioning.
Yep.
Going back to, I think it was in our last show, where I mentioned about how it's, I'm introducing it with the younger ones, especially the natural stone.
Yep.
Got a few of them sitting in the gym now, and because there's just so much more to it. There's the safety aspect. Talking to you guys, you know, when Martin was saying about football, you know, is it dangerous? I literally had this conversation with my mum this afternoon before I came home. Oh, it's, you know, you just need to watch. It's a bit dangerous if you break your feet. And I'm like, Mum. You know, that's kind of the point of training with them, is so you don't break your feet, you know. Let's say you learn how to do it safely. So that, and there's a discipline to it as well. Then there's a mental aspect. I mean, just that 55 kilo stone I've got in the gym now, which I can now pretty much clean up to my chest and roll onto my shoulder with fair ease now, I'm glad to say. But that's been built progressively with Martin's help, I might add. So just lifting that stone alone, it can be lifted, honestly, about 7 different ways. So in any given day, I tend not to pick it up the same way. I tend just to walk up and pick it up and not really look at it just now. I use it that way now, so that it's just, I just pick it up and there's a slightly different feel each time depending how it's sitting, or I'll just roll it over and pick it up type thing.
Yep.
So there's the cerebral aspect that we talk about so often, you guys have talked about a lot, and certainly when I listened to you and Martin, the cerebral aspect of it really hit home with me, and that really hooked me into thinking it has to have that. That's what's missing apart from anything else. But so it's strength and conditioning. It's awesome strength and conditioning, but it's more than that, and that's what people need. That's what people need out of their physical endeavors. They need more than that, like martial arts, like anything, Eric.
Yep. You know what it is, too, gentlemen. It's I think it takes your mind to a place that it's never been before. And I like the idea of being able to take an object, and, you know, I've had a tear with it. I mean, I blew a bicep over there. I know what the whole deal is with it. But it's taken me – there's only one movement, in my opinion, that comes very close to it, and it is the dead stop squat in the power rack. They're movements that – really define, I'm going to speak for me, and then I know we got to get started more into what you guys are doing, but what it speaks to me as, like today, all right, now I didn't go maximum anywhere near what I would do with a dead stop squat, but I've also moved it down 2 more inches, all right, so when you're talking mid-4s and blowing it out of the hole, that's a beautiful lift considering you're doing other things. And then when you're going out today and grabbing they'll say, well, 144-pound sandbag, that's not real heavy. Well, I got news for you. 144-pound sandbag supersetted with a 300-pound dead stop overhead press, that is heavy, folks. That is heavy. I'm going 1-to-1 with everything here, all right? And I'm cleaning. I was telling those guys, I don't have long fingernails, but the fingernails I had, I dug them so hard into the 144, I literally snapped them. Pieces were breaking off. That's how hard I was grabbing and holding that. Now, Martin laid it right out perfectly there. You don't have to use a maximum weight all the time. You heard Martin say he wants to get faster. He wants to lift quicker, okay? Because anybody that's never stone lifted, I'm going to say this, and then both of you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. You better have some speed when you go to lift the stone, because I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. If you're going to take and try to go as slow as you can and grind it out, and say Martin wants to do 6 stones with me that day, guess what? I won't get to the second stone because I've been grinding the other one out for a week. All right? My point is this. You got to have it. And there's other things I want to talk about. But, Martin, what do you think? I mean, at that point, you know, we're talking about going back and forth. And I told these gentlemen, I haven't even announced it on the show. If you've seen me on my YouTube channel, you know I like to lift the Hoos of Steel stone from different points in the rack and how I have that big piece that sets right onto the rods and we can put it anywhere. I'm now doing it. I'm going to be starting it now where I'm going to take heavy sandbags and run them just like a dead stop squat now. There will be more on that, but I'm telling you, wait till you see what I'm going to be rolling off that rack onto the front of me and then pushing off me. So, Martin, take it, and Douglas, take it after Martin's finished, and let's get right into what you guys are doing.
Right, well, a few things. I think you're spot on the money with the squat, especially the dead stop squat. It's really going to be beneficial because it simulates the stone being from the lap up to the chest to a standing point, from the squatting position to the standing point. So squatting is a beneficial exercise for the stones. And then all the exercises that we always mention, you don't, I've done training, I've changed my training a few times over the years just to try different things and left exercises out and did put other exercises in. That one, if you're starting off, is a really great one to do. And then, of course, later on, as the months go on, you could even knock off the squats or even in deadlifts, which I don't do anymore either. I still squat, but I don't deadlift anymore.
Okay.
Because I get so much squatting and deadlifts out of doing the stones. So I go out, I'm in the back garden again, 3 times a week at least, and I'm lifting the stones, so I'm deadlifting and squatting with the stone so many times through the week in the back garden, from a 90 kilogram stone up to 153 kilos.
Wow.
So I do that much deadlift and squats, can exercises, with the same muscle groups using the stones. I don't do it at the gym anymore. one exercise I do every week at the gym without fail is the bent over row.
Yep.
Because bent over row, you need to build your, one of the most important muscles as well for the stones, is your lats.
Yep.
Because they are like the first muscle that really come into, the big major muscle that come into play when lifting a stone. Because if you don't have strong lats, you're like a big strong, well, you'd have to be a big strong back, but you need strong lats. So which I think I'm getting that out of bent over rows as well as lifting the stones. But when you bend over to lift the stone, you're essentially, it's like a bent over row.
Yep.
You're lifting up and you're a big, and you need to lift it up with power. And of course, you're using your lats straight away to get up to your knee level so you can get the stone from the knee to the squatting position.
Yep.
It's like a bent over row sort of thing. A bent over row is, to me, is a crucial kind of exercise for doing the stones.
Yep.
And then, of course, like you're saying, speed work. It's good to be as quick as you can, because like you're saying, the slower you go, the more it's taken out of you, the more energy you're putting into lifting that stone, because you're going so slow with it. If you can knock down a weight in a sandbag or a stone that you're training with and lift it for reps, six reps maybe each set, but do it for kind of a lot quicker, it will definitely benefit, especially if you was, like you said, if we were to do a stone thing over the weekend and with a little routine, and we did, went around with six stones. If you're lifting them, the quicker you lift them, the more energy you've got for the next stone.
Yep.
Or the quicker you lift a set in the gym and in your training session with a stone, the more energy you've got for the next set. And as you know, for me, usually the second set is always the best set, because your body is warming up to start with. So you go and lift a weight or a stone and you get your body's just getting a feel for it. I mean, you might have done it 100 times before, but each day your body starts to get a feel for lifting that weight. So you do a few reps, and then you go, and then you have a little kind of few minute rest, and you go back and do it again. And on the second set, you'll be blasting the stones, because it's once your muscles have kind of reacted to the stone, and you know they've been shocked, and they can absorb the pressure more. But yeah, I think speed work is the key if you want to do multiple stones in a tour, definitely.
Without a doubt. Douglas, let's talk. We'll talk about stones, but let's get right into what you two guys are doing in June. So why don't you give everybody a little bit of breakdown on what you and Martin are going to be doing, teaching, obviously, and I'm hoping that you get a whole new group of stone lifters and people who know how to take care of their body and fix it. So take it away, my friend.
Absolutely. It's the 24th of June. I'm lucky enough to have talked Martin into coming over to teach us how to lift stones properly in my town of Largs. We're going to be doing a lot of interesting stuff. Martin's got some great ideas. He's going to be bringing over his big scales as well, so we'll be able to weigh the stones, which we are, touch wood, looking to, well, I mean, one way or the other, they need to come out of the burn, the creek, the river, whatever name you wish to call it. But hopefully folk will be up for pulling their own stones out. That's the idea. Get people really interacting, you know. Excuse me, to show them that you can do it anywhere, anytime. This is, it's like we were talking about beforehand, you know, you said about you've never lost a child, Eric, and
right.
Stone lifting is a great way to express, who didn't love picking up stones and throwing them about or whatever when you were younger, and piling them up on top of each other and various things. So it's a very primal way to work the body, and importantly, I can't remember if it was yourself, I've probably said it to both you and Martin, both you guys, is if something isn't, I don't want to use the word functional, but if I don't see something as serving a functional purpose, it comes from martial arts and all that as well, yeah. The way I train that, then I don't use it. And stone lifting most certainly does. Even when I first got into it with you guys talking about it, I still didn't realise quite how excellent it was.
Yeah.
Until I started doing it regular, and you just see what it entails and how good it is, and the fact that anyone can do it.
As
Martin's saying,
yeah,
the weight of the stone is what's important. You look at the videos on YouTube, and yeah, you'll see monsters like Martin and Andy and you know whoever else lifting these stones off the ground. There's a fantastic one of, is it James Graham?
Yeah,
is
James Graham. That, yep.
It was a fantastic
correct.
Video of him. I believe it was you, Martin, that went on him with that tour and probably filmed it as well. And he just, watching his journey through these stones is phenomenal. But, you know, when you can drop that big, huge, hairy Scottish man image from it out your mind, when you drop that part and realise that it's accessible to anyone.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a great way. Like I say, it's my go-to strength and conditioning. So I want to try and get this across to people, and the beauty of this, and I don't know, possibly almost the first of its kind, hopefully, from the ground up it's going to be called as well. Martin Janzi's natural stone lifting from the ground up.
Nice.
So just working on the basics, and also Martin is going to, I've intentionally not been looking any of this stuff up, by the way, Martin, it's so hard not to. But he's going to give us a bit of a history lesson on the historic stones of Scotland as well. So yep. We're going to get that and some demos, and then we'll go outside. We'll play it a wee bit more by ear on the day. But obviously there'll be a portion in the gym where Martin's going to utilise the equipment and give people stuff they can do, and you know, to train for stones and just generally to train to be strong. To be honest.
You know what it is, too, Douglas? Not to interrupt you guys, but here.
No, crack on.
Well, the thing that I think that's very important, obviously you're both going to be demonstrating some great stuff. But, you know, this is where I kind of got into a little bit about video with people, especially with the Winner Circle product. I think right now, this is what I see, and I'll ask you both for your comments. I think right now, if you want to really get into this type of stuff, because, you know, let's face it, it's very demanding, and I believe, I've said this before, I think we all have a stone gene in us. I really do. What triggers all that stuff, I know what I have, that what's happened with me through the years. But what I'm saying is education really needs to come first. And I think a lot of people are not being educated properly with physical culture. I'm just going to leave it at that. But since we're talking about the seminar and the stone lifting and learning how to take your body to where it needs to be to recover, et cetera, too many people, I think, nowadays, and don't get me wrong, video is prevalent with anything we do. But you know what's going to happen, because it's human nature. I've done it too. You're going to ignore what you've put down when you've spoken about it or when you're speaking about it live. And you know what everybody's going to do? They're going to go right to the video. And what's going to happen to you when you go right to the video, especially if you've never had any experience with lifting anything? But since we're talking stones and sandbags and all that, I don't want to see anybody get hurt, but chances are you could end up hurting yourself pretty good doing that. So I think the educational end is the most important. Obviously, video can be added in at some point, but I think you need to go through and listen to a Martin or listen to a Douglas and listen to them both, and then decide, you know, okay, I like what these guys are doing. I'm going to go and I'm going to start putting together some sandbags, or I'm going to go and find some river stones or whatever. But I think this all goes to the push where we need to do everything so fast. And you look at what Martin has lifted, okay? That didn't happen in 90 days for Martin, unless it did and he hasn't told me, because then I really want to know what the secret is. But what I'm saying is anything that's worthwhile in your life is going to take some time. So, Martin, comment on that first, and then Douglas, you take it from there, brother.
Well, one of the other things we'll be speaking about at the workshop as well is like injury prevention. Yep. When lifting a stone.
Yep.
And then, of course, the way you go to lift it, how natural stones, because they're natural, they can be off balance, and so the weight could be at one side and not the other. And we'll be speaking about how to find out the best way for you to lift that stone, and of course, injury prevention is a way that if you don't lift the stone properly, it can roll off backwards or forward. If you go and try and grab a stone, you could like twinge your lower back, and that could be you out of training for a matter of days or even weeks or even a month. so that'll be one of the big things we speak about as well. But another thing is, stone lifting is my main exercise. It is what really defines who I am.
Yep.
And of course, the bigger stone I can lift for me, the better, because, like I say, it is my thing. Since 2011, it's kind of made me doing what I'm doing, and then meeting all the people I've met, and doing the podcast, it's made me a lot better of a person than what I would be if I didn't have it in my life. I mean, if I didn't have that in my life since, like I say, back in 2011 to now, and hopefully for a lot of years to come, I mean, forever, I wouldn't actually like think where I'd be or who I'd be if it wasn't for having this sort of thing in my life.
Yep.
And I mean, and then the second thing, because of that, that is like, because when we speak about stone lifting, it's like our main thing, and it's all we really want to do, like that, or lift a sandbag or flip a tire. It's all kind of all we really want to do, you know.
Yeah.
But people can also realize that it doesn't have to be something that it's all you want to do. You can actually just maybe get a stone, put it in a back garden, or get a stone, an actual stone, and put it in the gym. Yep. And maybe even after a squatting session, say you're training for powerlifting, you could even, after a squatting session or a deadlifting session, you can go and finish off your workout lifting a stone just to get that little bit extra.
Yep.
And then, then a week after that, when you go and squat or deadlift again, you'll notice that you might be adding on a few more kilos, a few more pounds, and or even the same weight is moving quicker.
Yeah.
So lifting a stone could be a really good way for other people that do do things in sports like powerlifting or weights or bodybuilding or boxing or anything. The stone lifting can be a good way for them to finish off the workout, to give them a little extra burn. Or you could just go and get the little stone and put it in the back garden.
Of course,
who doesn't love to go outside in the back garden and lift a stone and come back in and feel like a man?
Hell yeah, man. Go ahead, Douglas. Take it away.
Yeah, it's what Martin was saying there. Actually, quite often I use the stone as a finisher myself.
Yep.
And at least once, every day. Except for usually a Sunday and sometimes a Saturday, depending if I'm seeing the wind or not. I will pick that thing up, put it on my shoulder, and walk around the gym, and usually do that on at least both shoulders once every day, just as a little finisher after a workout. It's actually kind of like now I don't feel like my day's complete unless I've done it.
Yeah.
Which is but like Martin says,
that's really awesome.
Yeah, it's just that way it just sits there and it's waiting for you, man.
It's calling.
See, I love that stone that I've got. It's only 55 kilos, but I'll never get rid of that stone because, like I say, just you can lift it seven different ways. It just looks inviting.
It does, and we do a lot, and I'm sure other people do it. When we built so many spheres here too, what I love to do with it? I do two things. You almost get in a bear crawl and you push it as far as you can, right? And I don't have an even driveway, so that thing's going left, right, and all in between. Another thing I do, I love doing it. I'll stand like in the middle and literally take whatever the sphere is, and it'll look like I'm taking a basketball. And I do it till I almost fall over because you get dizzy. I keep spinning the sphere around me. So it's going round and round and round and round, and I have to stop because I can't stand up because I'm so dizzy from doing it. I love doing all that stuff, man, because you know what? It's working tendons, ligaments, bone, muscle like other things can't. And, I know when we talk about this stuff and we spoke about this in the beginning, why would you do it? You can get hurt. You've got hurt. What does it really do as opposed to a free weight, et cetera, et cetera? Well, I'll spell it out for everybody. I don't think I do anything with free weights that is conventional at all. I mean, when you're doing and you're hacking stuff out of a rack over your head or it's on your back, and we know a deadlift's different, but I do some pretty wild things with deadlifts even too. In a rack, and it's not just pulling from below the knee or anything. I'll do holds where I'll pull that off the platform, and I'll set the rods at a certain height, and I'll take that thing and rip it up against the rods where it only might be 4 inches from the ground. Try that on your back for a while, man, and do that at all different heights in the rack. But that's the only thing, and I'll get right to you, Douglas. And that's the only thing that competes with stones to me. You know why? Because it's like the stones, man. That power rack and those stones are just like medieval, man. They want to like rip your head right off you. And that's the way I need to train. See, I can't train any other way. And I won't train any other way. But that's
me.
It's
the feeling you get after you do that. It's the feeling that runs through your
veins.
Body, through your veins.
Yeah.
It's everything. It's just you must have felt it yourself after you've had a really rough day or a bad day, and then you go and you lift a few stones and you think, that's better. Like,
well,
feel,
and you
feel
know,
the world after that, you know?
Well, and you know, too, I mean, some days you really need to get – I mean, there's days where things are hitting the wall here so bad. It's like I've got to go outside and do that. And they'll be like, well, why? Because I need to be part of that. I need to let that aggression out of me. I need to go out and do something that's going to either throttle me right into the ground or I beat it. And I got an understanding of this, like I've been trying to convey this through the shows. Failure, as people like to use the word, I don't even think of things in that context. When I go out there and get slapped around with anything, that's a learning experience, because then I can come on here with Martin or Douglas or both, and we can talk about these things. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. You know, we haven't even gotten to the mental stuff that these guys are going to be talking about and showing you. I got news for you, folks. You don't need to go out and buy a book. All right? If you want to be my guest, I've said to people here, because I get notes all the time when they see the pictures of the stones and everything, I want to come to your house and train with you. Come on. Anytime you want to come. Come on. It's fine with me. And the thing is, when you get outside and you train and beat the living life out of it or it beats you, you're going to be one hell of a human being. And that's the bottom line. And those are the things that can't be taught through a book or through this and that and the other thing. You need to go out and experience these things. And when you do, you'll make the decision if you're going to stay with it or not. And that's the most important thing, because I'm telling you right now, folks, if you haven't done sandbags, stones, anything like that, you don't know what you're missing. Douglas, take it, and we'll go right to Martin from there to speak on what I just said.
Yep, that's I've just hit on the kind of same point that you guys are both talking about, and that is that almost primal, tribal aspect that you love about the stones and your training in general. And in my opinion, that is actually what most people seek.
Yeah.
They just don't know what they're looking for. So, you know, people will go and train in a big, in with a big group of other people, because, you know, it's that tribal, almost safe feeling, anonymous in the crowd and all that, but they're just seeking it the wrong way. Yeah, it doesn't have to be lifting stones, but it's got to be something that connects you to your roots, especially physically, you know. And what that helps to do is it helps with the emotions and the hormones and everything else, but you don't get that on a treadmill.
No.
So you can't, you know, when you have a hard, really hard day, week, whatever it is, at work, whatever, at home, whatever, you go to the gym, and you get in a treadmill and you're just adding physical stress onto your mental stress. You're not releasing any mental stress whatsoever on a treadmill, you know, especially when in a lot of these places it's just so ridiculous. You stand on a treadmill and you look out at the good weather.
Yeah.
I've never seen the definition of insane, but then that's what people are told is good for them. And all they're doing is adding more stress on. So it's really important to try and get things like natural, especially for me, the natural stones, because, you know, when you're out for a walk, you can pick up a stone. So it's good for people to know how they can connect to it physically and mentally a bit better, instead of, you know, they'll walk away from this day never looking at another stone the same again. You know, there won't be a place where they don't at least think, wonder if I could lift that, you know?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Just,
and
it just becomes part of you, whether you like it or not.
No,
we want to get that across to people. We want to make it be as safe as we can for them, of course, so that when they go out and do it, they're not going to kill themselves with their ego when they try and lift something that's just far too big. The other good thing that I'm wanting to do, and I've spoken to Martin about it as well, I think I've spoken to both of you about it, is the creating a stone of strength. I'd like Martin to fish a big one out the river.
Yeah.
And we can just plonk it down outside the gym or something like that. I think that's what you said, wasn't it, Martin? We'll just fire it down outside the gym. That would be safest. You take it away now,
yeah.
Martin, on you go.
I think having we could pick a good stone out the river, like you're saying, And then I think the safest thing to be would be to either have it maybe just even beside the entrance, or if you've got a better place.
Eric, I was all for it being you've got to lift it out of the burn and put it on the embankment type stone.
Yeah.
And Martin slapped the back of my hands.
Yeah. And you know what I'd do? I'd slap a date on that bad boy too. Yeah, it's.
I mean,
go ahead.
Yeah, it's a good idea to have the stone, but I don't like the idea of people coming from all over to actually go into the river and try and pick it up themselves. Because it's just, I think, to me, that's just an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what you've got to step on. You don't know what you've got to step on in that river. Because I've stepped in, we was in a building site. It was with a big house that was full of these big stones that were getting cut up to be built into a wall.
Yeah.
And I picked up the stone, and it was 100 kilos plus, and I was just moving it so I can into a better area so I could cut it with the still saw. And of course, I never noticed a little pebble, and my foot went in the pebble, and I fell back still holding the stone, and my hand landed on top of another stone, and the big stone I was holding on to scraped down my hand and took my fingernail off.
Yep.
So it took a good 6 weeks for my fingernail to come back. So that kind of thing.
Toppled by a pebble, Martin.
Yeah,
it was.
You got hit. A pebble got him. That's all. But you know
injury
that.
Prevention is the key.
Well, yeah, and you're right. You know what it is
see
too. We
see
go out.
Pebble?
Yeah.
I picked it up. I threw it as far as I could. I'll tell you. I'll tell you that, people.
Well, you know
what?
Hits
a dog in the distance.
Yeah.
Hey,
you know what the whole thing is? It's like anything. You guys know, and we've done them. You got to be safe, man. And, you know, people get into a river or anything like that, you know, the first thing they want to do is prove what they can do. And, you know, you and I both know, you go down, hit your head on a stone, you could kill yourself, you know, so... you got to be real careful.
Just a little bang and that's it, you know?
Yeah.
So you've got to be smart. I mean, you just got to use your head, be smart a little bit and move things to a safe area. And then you can let your animal instincts come out and just rip up thing off the ground and up it goes.
Go bananas, man.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was going back to saying that when you don't have to, when somebody is maybe starting off or doesn't want to, can work up to lifting 100 plus kilos or just wants to do it as part of a different routine for a sport that they're doing. And that is a safety aspect. They don't have to lift something great. They can do what is in their capability, whether it be 30, 40, 50 kilos. It doesn't matter. As long as it is something they can get a good workout of. Instead of them trying to lift something that's 100 kilos, which they can't lift and just hurt themselves. So you've got to say, as well as being strong and being a brute lifting things up, you've kind of stones, you've got to be smart about it as well. So that's what comes into play when I say you've got to read the stone. You know, you maneuver a stone, you put your hand under a stone, you lift it a few inches off the ground to see if. And what it's going to feel like to get up on your lap, and then you've really got to tell yourself, can just say, I mean, when I go and lift a stone, I usually just keep saying to myself, up,
yep.
in my mind, until I've got it to where I want it to get it.
Yep.
And just keep saying, up. So it's a mind game as well.
Sure it is. And you know what? Here's the thing I've said before, too. There's a lot of talented individuals out there that get away with their talent because of it. But you know what you find? The first time something happens or an injury, then you get to see what they're mentally like. And a lot of these guys and girls that, quote unquote, are so special out there, when the shit hits the fan, they can't cope mentally. And a lot of times you'll see a lot of failed athletes off that. I've said this before, and I think it's very important to say, I've seen and been around enough athletes. I've seen, you know, the top ones, all in between, whatever. But I'll tell you something, and I've watched it with football, especially with my brother-in-law. If you notice, there's always going to be a star or two on the team. That's the way life is. but there's always going to be somebody that maybe they're not the star, but they're very, very good. But here's what they've got over the stars. They're a natural-born leader. And I'd rather have leaders on the team than stars. And I'll tell you why. Because these leaders know how to get it done. The other athletes look up to them. And they are the ones that usually are the field generals, as I call them. I think that's very important because I think, well, I know, your chances of winning are much better when you're depending on a whole team rather than one or two stars. So, you know, I think it's the same with everything we do. You know, look, it, there's always going to be better people in everything we do. That's the way life is. But that doesn't stop you from not becoming the best version you can be. And when you have the opportunity to lift a sandbag or a stone, or you learn how from Martin or Douglas how to work in the weight room, what do we do to get us back to the next workout? How do we keep injury prevention from, you know, as much as we can? If we get an injury, how do we deal with it physically? But most of all, what are these two gentlemen going to teach you mentally what you have to deal with? Because we know injuries, we know what it can do to some people permanently. I have a friend who was an Olympic lifter and a good one. He blew his back out, man. He came back, but he was never the same. And I think most of the stuff with him was all in his head, but he could never rectify that and get rid of it. Because he, and I knew it was because he'd get to a certain point of on his comeback, and then suddenly he'd get another injury. That was all mental. So see, go ahead. Take it, Douglas. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I mean, I agree with that. Yeah, there's so much of that goes on, Eric, but in it. Again, that's something that concept that runs through your show quite a lot, and it's the mental attitude that folk have been beaten with, you know, is, let's say your friend that blew his back out, do you know how many folk walk through my door, you know, I've just got to live with the pain and manage the pain and this and that, but that's not just them doing that, that's the system working on them, that's what they're told by health professionals. I mean, just recently I tried to help an ex-client, and unfortunately, it looks like it's not going to happen, but trying. And it's just further back, and they're just getting pumped full of pointless pills. And I'm like, man, listen to me here. But this is what they're told. Oh, no, I just need to manage the pain. And obviously that involves taking lots of pills for it, doesn't it? And some of the pills they give out aren't even painkillers. You know what I mean? Like, what? It's an antipsychotic. Why? What? Right, so you've got all that working on and in their brain, and even the highest level of sports people have this same kind of mentality working on them. I meet very few people that actually have a true belief that they can recover fully from something like scoliosis in the spine within reason. Obviously, there's, you know, major accidents and stuff like that can cause it, but just, you know, a lot of time it's just postural with people, and you can straighten it out, but they're told that it never will, you know. They're literally told these things, and this mentality is bred up in them, and so it just keeps working away in the back of their head. So we just got to try and flip the script with as many people as we can with that mentality. And well, again, something like stone lifting, bringing it back to that, is just scary enough where when you get someone to do it, they'll all of a sudden go, oh, you know, I'm not made of glass.
Right.
Actually, I've just lifted this big, rough, odd-shaped object and just ripped it off of the ground and onto my chest or on my shoulder, wherever you do it, or press it above your head. Doesn't even have to be a big stone, do you know what I mean? It's just that, you know, that against your body and all moving around, and you feel it, you know it's there, and you know that in itself can be enough to help, like I say, show people they aren't made of glass.
Yeah.
They're stronger than they think.
Well, you know something too, Douglas and Martin, I'll say this. One thing I like about, I've always loved about weightlifting, and especially stones, is this. Your responsibility is to do either or, all right? That's what you're responsible for, the training, the knowledge, the learning, the employment of a man like you. But here's what I always loved about all of it. If I bomb with anything, it's my fault. Now, I know in today's age everybody loves to blame everybody else, but see, this is what I've always loved about physical culture, and I'll just encompass everything we do into that. On my behalf here, I don't make excuses. If I go down, I've done it to myself. I know things happen. Injuries happen. I mean, when Bill Crawford and I both blew our biceps in Iceland in 2008, I wasn't very happy about that. I got to tell both of you, believe me. And I'll tell you what was even more to me, it was an embarrassment to me. And I'll tell you why. And it wasn't when I think about it now. But I never sustained an injury like that in my life, and I'd put so much into going over there, and, you know, everybody in town knew, and then, you know, you pull up, and it's like, boom, oh, no, bicep tear. You know, we can fix it there if you want. I mean, Iceland, you talk about people that were just incredible. I mean, they would have done anything for you if I wanted to do it right then and there. And the thing was, I think you know, my nephew was there because he filmed, and I gave that to him for his high school graduation. And I'm glad he was there because, you know, I was feeling at that point at a low point in my life. And I decided to stay with the team and everything because that's what you do. But I'll tell you what, that plane ride was going home was long for me, man. You know, because I didn't want to hear "I told you so" or whatever, and nobody even did that to me. And I'll make this quick, and I'll go to Martin, and then we'll go to Douglas. You know, you hear me talking at the end, my chiropractor, John Ridge, who passed away almost 3 years now. And John and I were very close, and John was very big behind me, you know, going after these two businesses. And you know, my dad had passed away quite a while before I met John. And I used to go over every Friday afternoon, no matter what, and sit in his dad's barber chair. His dad, they were from New Hampshire, and his dad was a chiropractor, believe it or not, and a barber. And it was a beautiful chair he had left him. And he sat me down, and this was like 2 days after I got back from Iceland. And he said, because I was never quiet with him, you know, at all. And he says to me, "You're awful quiet today." And I was like, "Yep." And he goes, "Are you feeling sorry for yourself?" And I said, "I think a little bit." And he says, "You need to get over that quick." And I said, "Yep." And he said, "I'm going to tell you something right now that I would tell my own son." He said, "Do you realize you're one of the few people in the world that got on a plane, left his country to go over after a dream?" And he goes, "So what? You didn't get it." He says, "Be proud of what you did to get there." And he goes, "I know you'll go back and do it." And see, that is the whole premise of the stone to me. Because there's elements in there. I just discussed the whole thing with both of you and our family. Those are the two elements that dog me every day. But I'll tell you this, I know I will get that stone, and then we'll go and do all the other adventures together. But as a man and as somebody that loves stones and sandbags and everything, I can tell you both that, yep, that was a lesson I had to learn, and the second time was bad enough with the weather there, and we couldn't walk around the pen with it. But, you know, there's another day, another fight. But you go through a lot of things, a lot of psychological things when that stuff happens to you, because I can remember the first time I went to do a barbell curl. You know what I was thinking? Is my bicep going to hold together? There's a lot of shit. Now, I don't even think twice about any of it. Now, I could care less. I'm out there just blasting anything I want to blast or blast me back. So, Martin, that, you know, I think it's very important to tell people things like this, because with anything, with stones, with weights, the possibility of injury can happen. But more than anything, you know, we've been touching a little bit on the mental side in the last 15 minutes. That's the most important thing, because if I didn't come back from that mentally, or I was a little afraid to go and grab a stone again, I never would have been able to do it again, and that would have been a shame for me. So go ahead and take it away.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% there. Hey, with both of you, with what you're saying. And I mean, Eric, I reckon you have to be proud of what you did. You made the adventure to Iceland,
yep.
And you might have not got on as well as you did, but you never failed. You went over there, you had your attempt, your bicep got ruined a little bit.
Yep.
But you had the drive to go and do it. You had what it took inside you to go and do it. And that's not an easy thing to go and say, because a lot of people, things build up inside them and they never get to live any sort of dream. And you did that. I mean, and the next time you go back, you'll go on even better. But you have to be proud of what you did, and it's great. Ken, you're a good ambassador in the way that you're coming back from that torn bicep and you're going back to do it again, because you've got that, and you've got that willpower and you've got that drive. It says there's no surrender. I'm not going to stop. I'm gonna get it. And I think that is a thing in society, especially with sports and kids and arts alike. That, if they get injured, okay, a lot of people will maybe just walk away or start to take it more easy, or if they've maybe had medical problems in the past, they might not even do anything at all. I mean, I've come on, compared to what I was, when I was a young kid, I've come on leaps and bounds, I think. Yep. I mean, when I was born, when I was 6 weeks old, I had meningitis.
Yep.
And then my mum and dad were back and forth to hospital and stuff, and the hospital ended up calling in a priest because they said I was going to die that very night.
Yep.
So the poor mum and dad came in and say goodbye to me, but I pulled through. And then about 6 years after that, I was in and out hospitals and doctors for about 6 years. And then I was on different medications, and I was really in a bad way, going downhill. And I could have even died again. And it was things were getting that bad. And then there's even one time that I was 5 years old and I was on these tablets from the doctor, but then they ended up being the wrong tablets. And
oh, boy.
The doctor came running into the house. He found out I was on the wrong tablets, and he came up from the surgery, up to the house, and came running in the front door and started shouting for my mom, can you tell her to stop giving me these tablets?
Mm-hmm.
If I take any more, then it could kill me.
Yep.
So I was going not that much, that was downhill. I almost died twice in the first 5 years of my life. And then, but now, what I've done and what I am doing with these stones especially, it's a far cry from the baby I was from one to, from zero until 1 5-year old when, and I could have died at any time. And then, so a lot of people, because things happen to them in their life, they think that that's life over. They can't have a sport career. They can't do anything. They can't go and lift the stones. They can't. Okay, life just has to plod on by, and they're just going to watch it go past them. Just because maybe something happened when they're younger or whatever. But it doesn't have to be like that. As long as you can have the mental attitude or go to somebody that can maybe give you that motivation, like yourself, to do it, then anything's possible.
Yeah.
Don't let anything, any injuries or anything put you off. Just kind of have a dream. Can go for it.
Yeah. And have you have that drive, yeah. Martin, you know? And not only that,
to go for it. You need that drive, like you're saying. Yourself and you can help them get there. Or myself, Douglas, or one of the other guys. Just go and get in touch with someone, and then they can kind of help give you that little bit that just maybe there's a lot of push that you need, and then for all you know, you could be helping someone become great, you know?
Yeah, I agree, and I'll tell you right now, down the road, I mean, I'm going to be contacting you both. I want to even do an audio series of, like, the way we talk. You know, you see so many authors out there, so many speakers. There's so much good information we have on this show with many of all of us on here. There's certain people I'm going to pick out, and I'm going to want to do things like that where, you know, when you go and listen to a big-name speaker, well, we've got some big-name speakers here that people need to listen to. And I don't mean just lifters and anybody else. There's a lot of people out there struggling right now. And the way we talk and the way we do things, and no one's telling you to go out and lift this, that, and the other thing, but we'd love you to come on board and do it. But the way we talk is going to inspire you no matter what. Douglas,
you know,
sorry,
Eric, just,
go ahead.
Can I just add one thing before I forget?
Whatever you want, man.
Just out to everybody, anyone that's listening, or anyone that's listening that can pass this on to somebody else, never be afraid to try.
Never.
Just have a goal. Have just something, and just don't be afraid to try anything.
Right.
And then if you want, just get in touch with MD. It does what you want to do,
yep.
And ask them questions. Don't be afraid to reach out to somebody else. You know, there's no, again, a lot of people want to do things themselves or whatever, but there's no shame in asking somebody else advice.
No.
Or you just need that drive. You just need, just don't be afraid to try something new. And
I
give
agree.
Give it your whole heart and just go for it.
I agree. Douglas, comment on anything. I'm going to have you both summarize after Douglas and give out any information you want, especially with the seminar the two of you are going to go out in June. I'll give out my information. Just hang on the line, and we'll wind up today's show, please.
Nice one. I'll just quickly bolster the...
Take your time. Take your time.
What was being said there as well. It's about... When Martin's talking about reaching out, I mean, absolutely, yeah. I can be the world's worst, you know. But besides anything, and definitely like yourself, Eric, the way that you go on about it, I just love to figure out things for myself.
Yep.
Besides anything, I love to do it. But with that said, you still need to, reach out to the other people who either might know more or they know more about something else. And, you know, like I've reached out to Martin, you know, I wanted to start stone lifting. It's like, well, there's Martin just on the other side of the country. Why don't we put on a workshop and I can learn from him about stone lifting and I can teach him some mace as well. He's getting into the old maces. So swinging that hammer around, aren't you, Martin? So we'll show you up on some of that technique, get
sure.
you swinging some weight. So yeah, absolutely, this is the things you've got to do. So, you know, I can be as pig-headed and stubborn when it comes to my craft as anyone, but you know sometimes it's really worth reaching out besides anything else. So it's really worth doing. So that's how the workshop has come about in June, and I couldn't be happier to have done it, and it's through this show as well, so that's the other most excellent thing, and that's why we're more than happy to offer some of our services so folk can reach out and also benefit your show or everyone listening to the show and hopefully more show and make a donation, or however you want to play it, Eric. I mean, I don't want to say too much about donations and stuff. You can play it any way you want, you know, with it. But just know that the offer's there, certainly from us too. I'm sure other folk wouldn't mind helping out with bits and bobs as well, like that. You know, you help keep things afloat. So
we'll keep it.
I'll stop with that, and we can just let you fire in and summarise anything else you need to.
Well, you know what it is, too, Douglas, and I appreciate both you and Martin making the offer to the listeners and the family out there. That's going to be a big help to me, obviously. But, you know, Martin made the comment before, you know, not to be afraid to try anything to do it. I'm just going to add one more piece to it, and then Martin can summarize and give anything out, too, and then I'll finish off. Is this two things. The whole time we've been doing this show, I've been squeezing a tennis ball, guys. And if you've been listening to me,
Rocky,
there you go. I've been squeezing it so hard to see if I could explode my hand while I was talking to you. My hand looks like somebody jacked it full of helium right now. All right.
So that's what the fun was.
that's the first thing, guys. But here's the second thing. I don't know how to go backwards anymore, and I can't. And when you do things like stones, when you do things with big iron, and you understand the whole conceptual thing of what being a physical culturist is, where it's a lifestyle forever, when you go after things like building a barbell company and a podcast show, no matter what happens to you, and I'm telling everybody right up front, things are brutally rough right now financially for me, and I'm not crying or want sympathy from anybody. That's not my point. What you're going to learn, and I'm going to teach all this once we are financially solvent as can be, is I've got information in my head that you would not believe. And I'm going to tell you this. You're going to get to a point when you understand all this, what you're doing and your passion and your love for something, that no matter what happens, I always say this, the only thing that's going to stop me from completing both of these companies is an act of God killing me. That's it. And there's no other thing, there's nothing else I can say to you, because you get to a point where it doesn't matter anymore. You attract the people that you need to come into your life. And even the ones that you love and whatever, a lot of them are going to fall by the wayside because they don't understand what you do and they aren't going to rise up with you to help you out. Now, everybody's got their own thing they do. But when you're in this type of, figure like this, it'd be like you sticking me in a 55-gallon drum, locking it down and pushing me down a hill. And you know the momentum, I mean, you're going to make it or you're not. That's what it is right here, right now. And the thing is, you're going to almost welcome more things to come at you so you can beat them into the ground. And other days I lose, but I always come back, all right? So whenever when anybody tells you not to go after your dreams or maybe put it on hold for a year or two, you know what will happen? You'll put it on hold for the rest of your life, and you'll be like many that are in the cemetery now. If you walk through, you can hear their voices say, I wish I did this. Don't wait to wish for it. Go out and do it. Martin, summarize anything, give out anything, website, all that, and let me give my stuff out, and we'll sign off for the day, please.
Cool. I think you're right on the money there. Like we're saying, don't be afraid to try something new, and don't let somebody put you off of going for your dream, or going or trying something new, or saying to you, oh, put it in the hole for now, do it later on, or you should maybe do this first or that first. I mean, it's like you said, if you do that, if you let somebody put you off, then that'll never happen.
Nope.
The longer you wait to do something that you want to do, the less and less you are likelihood to go and do it. So I think every one of us has a responsibility to ourselves to become the best version of ourselves as we can, and try and find that one thing that defines you and can make you into like that better version of who you are right now, or it's like you're going saying before about getting the primal urges out and going somewhere where you can relax after a bad day. Well, not so much relax, but get your anger and frustration out on like lifting a stone. That's what did it for me. That's who made me a better. That's what made me a better person. So you've got that responsibility to yourself. It's like responsibility of looking after your family. You've still got responsibility to yourself to become a better person, so that you can look after your family better. So you can teach others. You can maybe one day you'll teach somebody. It's like that guy that doctor friend of yours who suddenly passed
Doc Ridge. His
patient to the door and say to them, Keep smiling, things like that.
Awesome.
You know what I mean? With us passing things on, can if you are the best person of your version of yourself you can be, or if you're getting there, you're doing something you love, then there's more chance that maybe you want to pass that knowledge on to somebody else, like we are now.
Yep.
And at the same time, you might just pass that bit of knowledge, that one little bit of knowledge, on to somebody else that could really help them to become the best version of themselves they could be, and then they in turn could help somebody else, and of course they could help somebody else. And it's just all about sharing and having that responsibility to help yourself, but help others as well, you know.
I agree.
And I mean, totally. And like you're saying about the websites, sorry if I get on and on here.
That's all right. Go ahead.
But the Facebook page, which I've had a lot of people and get in touch through, and I've said to each and every one of them that I'm happy to help them out in any way I can. I must have messaged a lot of people since December over the last few months, just back and forth, just giving them advice and stuff.
Yep.
And of course, that was the reason I went and made the website as well, the historicstonelifting.com. So it's just to give everybody all the information I can in kind of one location. For the stones, people lifting the stones, just to let people see that they can be done. Information about the history of the stones, and of course links to other websites such as yourselves, own website, Motivation and Muscle, which I think is a very important website.
Thanks.
And you've got the James Graham's website, the Old Man of the Stones, and you've got Stevie Shanks' website about the Derry Stones. I'm trying to tie all these things together into one location through my website. So as soon as you go into there, you can have all the information from map locations to history about the stones to what the stones look like. And of course, I'm now going to make videos of the stones as well.
Mm-hmm.
Get like a video all around each of the stones so you can actually see what they look like and take measurements of the stones so people can see what they're actually letting themselves in for before they can maybe train or get a stone home. It's kind of maybe similar after what they've got to try and lift out in the field. So
you're doing a hell of a service, man.
It's all about helping people. And of course, it's all there on the website.
It's awesome. It's an awesome website.
Up and download it and PDFs, everything.
Yep, that's awesome. You got anything else, Martin?
Just if you're interested in learning more about this stuff, the history of the stones and how to lift stones and the benefits it can give you in sport, any kind of sport that's related to physical activity, or what I do, go around Scotland and lift a few of the stones. The workshop that we're putting on in June the 24th next month can help you with all that. You can get all the information, lifting technique, injury prevention, maybe tap into your mind a little bit, go past that mental barrier as well as the physical barrier, and you'll learn all this sort of stuff at the workshop that can really help you get there.
I think that's great. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to FiorellaBarbellCo.com and take a peek and purchase the Winner's Circle. That's 12 modules loaded with information. We are going to be doing some video. In fact, there's to the people that are signed up on my list, I'm going to be doing some video most likely this week, just short things of just doing a basic pullover, using a thick bar, whether we're curling it, doing bent rows, and obviously, too, some sandbag stuff where, you know, I'll show you how to do a step up with a sandbag, how to straddle a sandbag and bring it to each shoulder. Just some good beginner stuff that even though it's beginner, it'll really give you more than most things that are out there, believe me. So that's coming up. So go out, look at that, and you will get a free 13th module if you purchase the product right now, called the Stewards of Strength Gatekeeper. I'm telling you right now, it's 20 minutes of what physical culture means to me. And if you listen to these two gentlemen along with me today, you know, you're going to get the full throttle all the time because they've got it like myself and everybody else. And it's been really wrecked like everything else out there. But as Bill Crawford said, or not Bill Crawford, Bill Hinburn, who's the ultimate authority on it, he wants to go back to when it really started, at least history-wise, was in 1902, folks. That's big, big stuff. And I believe from what I've studied about it, it probably went away, in my opinion, in the 70s. But we'll get into all that at another point. So go out and check that out. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. As I said in the beginning, Look at all the shows I've done with Douglas and Martin. There is a monster amount of information there, and you're not going to get it from a chapter book, believe me. That is real-world experience coming at you quick. Also, too, I've asked for donations. We're asking because of how tight everything is. You heard Martin and Douglas give freely of their time for a donation to Motivation and Muscle. Obviously, if you go out to my PayPal account, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com, anything would be appreciated. And I thank you all because, you know, like I said, we're getting on near 30,000 downloads. And I know it's not going to happen with everyone, but just think if 30,000 people gave a dollar, you know, even half of that, what it is, it will get us in a much better place. But you know what? As I said during the show, with or without, I'm going to do it. So that's the way I am. Also, too, go out to iTunes and Stitcher. Well, it's called Apple now. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten from everybody, and I thank everybody for that. AHA, that's AHA. If you have a new car and you can buy the new radio too, everybody's got capability now to get podcasting in their car. Why not get Motivation Muscle 24/7 in your car? If there's a show you'd like me to do with Martin and Douglas, send anything in to FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com, and we'll do a follow-up after June 24th and see how everything went. As I'll be very interested, and I think it'd be good for the listeners to really hear what came out of this and the people that both of these gentlemen dealt with. I'm very excited to hear about that. So we'll talk about that to them. So you can contact me, like I said, at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. If there's any questions or you have a hard time getting a hold of these gentlemen, anything you send me will get forwarded to them. So, you know, rest assured that your voice will be heard always. I'm going to leave you with a bunch of things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give words of inspiration. 5 words will change your life. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, squat it, press it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoos of Steel Stone says, the crusher in blood red, domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning, when I hear your show, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. You can bet there is, and you can bet there is a ton of it today, my friend. We will say that for the next 30 years. Frank Klein, my greatest business college professor, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. And we talked about John Ridge multiple times today. He would walk every patient to the door. He was a chiropractor. No matter how busy he was, and he said 2 words, keep smiling. I dare you to say that to yourself on your best or worst day. I'm smiling right now. John, like my father, like Frank Klein, like my brother Jimmy, I can't tell you how much I miss every one of them. Someday we'll meet again, but it's going to be a long time. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming because we are not going to knock on your door. We'll put our foot right through it. Definitely join the family. Join our revolution. I promise you 30 years of the best life you've ever had. And as Les Brown says, you all have greatness. We'll take it 2 steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. And I don't know many people that would ever say that in today's world, and I mean that fully. Martin, Douglas, I can't tell you what a great time I've had doing this show with you gents. And, you know, I always wish you the best. And you two are men of might, and I'll always be a fan of you both, sir.
It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure, Eric.
Well, I'm glad you did. And we did almost a 2-hour show today, so people are going to really get some information not only about what you gentlemen will be doing at the seminar, but there is just so much material here to talk about. and just the whys and why we love stones and sandbags and, you know, the mental end coming from three people here that are on in the trenches that, you know, were never put up on the pedestal, man, that went and worked. And that's the most important thing. So thanks for being on, guys. And we'll do a follow-up after the seminar in June, and I'm sure that'll be great. So this is for Martin Janzix and Douglas Graham. This is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for being on. We will talk to you soon. Remember, Monday starts a new week. You got 7 days, but you got the rest of your life to make it work. Go out there and do it, and I mean it. Be a leader, not a follower. We'll talk to you soon, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.